is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for listening to Davin's Den. About to do the Valentine's Day countdown, where we each try to find the three worst love experiences in the past year. I mean, everybody goes through love hardships, but we want newsworthy love hardships, and we try to come up with the ultimate love hardship. So, just a spoiler alert from Davin's Den 3 years from now. So, as I was telling Pip before this show, it's Valentine's Day, and I have many, many girlfriends this Valentine's Day. I'm a lucky duck. I have many, many girlfriends. And on Valentine's Day, as you would imagine, the hand is out looking for things. So, I must definitely swipe that hand away so I do not have to wind up running to the store and buying gift cards. You know. The beaten path.
Lots of gift cards.
Lots and lots of gift cards. So I have come up with a whopper of a story with a scammer who I'm really enjoying very much. It's been a lovely relationship thus far. But the hand was out, and I have come up with a whopper of a story. Like Joe in segment one, it's emotional, Joe, what I'm coming out with. It'll pull at the heartstrings. It's stripped down. So in 3 years, I think we'll really enjoy it, and we will not remember this conversation. But let us commence our love fail. This is for the third biggest love fail of the year. So I will do the first one, my first story for number three. Joe will go second, and then Pip will go first, and then we will battle that. Now, I will say this story is my longest story, and it was a national story. So, yes, I think it's something. I don't often go with the national stories, but I think it's something that we'll all remember. So, hats off. Joe's ready to go to work. All right. A small U.S. police station has been rocked by allegations of wild sexual misconduct after a married female officer... look, Pip's mouth is open. That was this lady's problem. Married female officer allegedly had steamy romps with six male officers, including illicit on-duty liaisons, according to reports. Tennessee officer Megan Hall, by the way, not a looker, and her colleagues allegedly engaged in wild sexcapades that included sending dirty pictures, taking her top off at the Girls Gone Wild hot tub party, and even having oral sex with two officers at a police station, WTV reported. The steamy shenanigans, good word, in which Hall allegedly bragged about the size of one partner's genitals and claimed to be in an open marriage, not only led Hall to be sacked, but led to the firings of Sergeant Lewis Powell, Officer Juan Lugo, Sergeant Ty McGowan, and Detective Seneca Shields. There's also been two more that have been fired since then, according to a December internal investigation. Two other officers who allegedly had romps with Hall, Patrick Milioka and Larry Holiday, it certainly was, kept their jobs but wound up suspended, according to reports. The tryst took place at hotels and parties at other officers' houses and on a boat. Hall was also accused of performing oral sex on Powell and Shields while on duty at the police station and police gym, according to the December 28th internal report. Officials began to look into personal lives of the officers when Laverne Mayor Jason Cole received a tip, just the tip, that Hall was sleeping with several fellow cops and had a threesome with Maglioka and his wife, among other claims, the New York Post reported. And the New York Post is like, yes, finally, yeah, a story where our journalism and writing expertise can come to the forefront. When we hadn't had it this good since Hunter Biden, and nobody believed us with that shit at first. Get out of the way, Rudy. We'll tell this story ourselves. When asked about the tip, Maglioka admitted to having sex with Hall on numerous occasions. He told investigators that Hall had told him about Powell's big black dick and claimed she had performed a sex act on him while the pair were on the clock, the report said. Well, sure, why not? You're there. Magliocca also said he had seen Hall and Holiday kiss while watching football at a party. See, and my Super Bowl party was much lamer. And Hall had kissed his own wife, Amy, after learning they had an open marriage, according to the document. The officer said Hall's husband saw the kiss and told officials he wasn't really on board. And here's where we come to the love fail. This is the problem. With his wife, he wasn't really on board with his wife having a threesome with the Magliocas, but she continued having a relationship with him, investigators said. Where did that lay down the law there? When questioned, Powell later denied that he had sexual encounter with Hall, but said everybody knows she has multiple partners, as he named Holiday and McGowan to investigators. After being caught lying about being at the gym with Hall, Powell admitted to the tryst during a follow-up interview. Powell was then involved in a domestic disturbance with his wife, who he told investigators beat the shit out of me. Adding that he would most likely lose his children after the spurned woman learned of the affair. Holiday admitted under questioning having sex with Hall multiple times, and McGowan revealed that he once went to Hall's house with another female and exposed his genitals, according to the graphic report. A little looky-loo, if you will. Hello! It's a cock and balls. Hello, kids!
Hello! He unfurled his genitals.
No, he wasn't Powell. There was nothing to unfurl. After initially denying having sexual relationship with Powell Magliocca, Hall later admitted to the affairs and also admitted having sex with Lugo at a motel after they met at a go-kart center. A go-kart center, kids! I'll tell you what. Nothing gets me more worked up and willing to cheat on my spouse than a hot lap around the old go-kart track. I'll tell you that.
Hey, you never know what's going to work. ED drugs, go-karts, you never know.
You're right. After they met at a go-kart center, a change that Lugo initially denied before caving under a second interrogation. What, do they yell at these guys louder the second time? Under questioning, Shield said, I've never had sex with Megan Hall, until admitting she had performed oral sex on him while on duty when pressed. Ah, the old Bill Clinton defense. What is is?
She had sex with him when pressed.
Magliocca also noted he'd become concerned about Hall's mental health and heavy drinking and driving. The officer said Hall had once pulled the trigger on an empty gun pointed at her temple so she could hear what it sounded like, and said she was suffering from mental illness. An often mentioned event in the report was a Memorial Day party on a boathouse owned by another member of the department, which several officers had brought their children to. Of course you did. At one point the party, an intoxicated Hall was reportedly being force-fed vodka by Magliocca in the hot tub, at which time her top came off, as they often do.
Boing!
That's the noise they made. And other cops stopped the former officer from drinking and helped her cover up to protect her, according to Durham's account. Lugo, Powell, and Shields were also dismissed for violating police procedure and lying during the investigation, along with McGowan, who had been witnessed choking an HR employee. Holiday, Malagago, and Patrol Officer Gavin Schulberg were suspended in connection with the probe. HR Director Andrew Patton, who authored the report and conducted the investigation, sanctioned 8 officers for various penalties: sexual activity while on duty, sexual harassment, conduct unbecoming of an officer, and lying during the course of an investigation. It was further revealed that Hall and many of the male officers had shared lewd text messages and pornographic images of themselves. Pornography and offensive pictures in the workplace are forms of sexual harassment. These items are offensive, inappropriate, and can lead to a hostile work environment to the other employees. The baby-faced siren told her hard-drinking cop click she was in an open marriage and tried to recruit her sheriff's deputy husband for swinging sessions. However, clean-cut Jedediah Hall, the son of a pastor, wasn't really on board and instead confronted his wife of 4 years for cheating, according to an internal investigation. Well, I'll tell you what, that internal investigation was packed. Jason Cole, mayor of Laverne, a town of 40,000 people, 20 miles southeast of Nashville, announced Monday that Hall had been canned along with 4 officers she's alleged to have. 3 more have been suspended without pay, while the remaining 62 cops working at the Nashville area outfit will undergo mandatory retraining in rules, regulations, and expectations. DailyMail.com can reveal big-hearted Jedediah, 28, a former state park ranger with a master's degree from Middle Tennessee State University, is sticking with his wife and trying to work through their problems the way she worked through the police department. The pair have been sweethearts since their college days, got married in November 2018, and in March of last year, bought their first family home in Manchester, 60 miles south of the Music City. I don't know how he's doing. He's more of a man than I am, but he's trying to salvage his marriage. Jedediah's Coffee County Sheriff's Chad Patton told Daily Mail. Parton said Jedediah was in training for the Tennessee Highway Patrol, but decided to pull out because of the scandal engulfing his spouse. Instead, took a job as a deputy. I have offered and extended him any resource that he needs, and all he says is, Sheriff, I just want to work for the citizens of the Coffee County. I love what I'm doing. I can't condone what went on at the Laverne Police Department, but he sure hasn't broken any laws. He's the victim here. There's not a blemish on his record. He's doing a phenomenal job. McLaughlin-Oker, who revealed that his wife Amy also got involved in Spring 22 in a bungled attempt to coax Jedediah into bed swapping. Maglioka told Patton that at the party, Hall and Maglioka's wife started kissing, and Hall's husband Jedediah came into the room and seemed upset, the report says.
No!
The guy was a park ranger.
The next day, on shift, Maglioka asked Hall about her husband's reaction, since Maglioka was under the impression from Hall that her marriage was open as well. Hall said he really wasn't on board. McGowan struggled to share that then when Hall was a candidate and in the process of being hired. Hall and her husband, Jedediah McGowan, another female, met up at her house. During that meeting, Hall was naked, another female got naked, and Hall's husband got upset. I don't know how he's doing it. He's more of a man than I am, but he's trying to salvage it. The actions of a few do not represent the department as a whole. Instead, Police Chief Burl Chip Davis, after the sordid antics of his officers, made national headlines. The raft of firings and disciplinary measures meant that Laverne population 39,000 lost around 12% of its police manpower overnight. From one twat, one vagina, took out 12% of that population's police force. Cole Brand of the office... Cole branded the officer's conduct unacceptable, adding, as soon as it was brought to our attention, it was immediately investigated. The action was taken upon individuals. Our top priority moving forward will be rebuilding the public's trust. So here we go. The husband is why this is the love fail. If this is an open marriage, this is a love win. Possibly. But he was not on board. Hall was not...
Apparently not.
Hall was not into it, but she continued. When your marriage is so bad that your actions... cost one police department 12% of their workforce and make another police department lose a recruit. Her husband didn't want to become the work for Tennessee State because of her whorish scandal. I mean, she didn't just go behind his back; she would do it in front of him when he completely disregarded his feelings. She was a whore around the corner. She was a whore in front of him. She was a whore at the go-kart track. She was a whore on her back. Give me cock. Give me more. I even blew Powell while I was on the clock. I'm a fucking whore.
Oh, my God.
I said it was a ranger. I wonder if Yogi Bear had a stance with her. Hey, boo-boo, let's go find the ranger's wife.
Gee, Yogi, that picnic basket smells like fish.
God. Wow. Wow. That's, you know, you see runaround Sue, but this was runaround cop. God.
She took
Jesus out. Went through everybody.
I've heard about fuck the police, but gee whiz.
And she certainly did.
She took out 12% of the police force. 12. If that vagina was a gun, this would have been a huge issue. If one man walked in or one woman walked out with a gun and took out 12% of the police force, but she did it with her vagina.
Power of the pussy.
Yes, Joe. I think that's the takeaway. I think that's the takeaway, Joe. It's the power of the pussy. So that is. Go on.
It's unbelievable. It's really, truly unbelievable.
Have you guys? You guys heard that story, right?
Oh, yeah. That, I actually forgot about that because I wasn't thinking of that in terms of a love fail. But yeah, since the husband wasn't on board, yeah, that's kind of a problem.
It's a huge loss. If the husband's on board, it's all good. But this guy, he couldn't even do the job he was going after because she's such a whore.
Yeah. I know it said he pulled out. See, he's always been a good guy.
Yes. Yeah. A hero. So that is my contender for number 3. Joe, you are up.
Teacher had sex with a 13-year-old girlfriend in his classroom. A Florida teacher is jailed after police said he had sex with a 13-year-old student who told investigators that the teacher called her his girlfriend. David Augustine Hodge, 30, of Homestead, Florida, was charged Wednesday with four counts of engaging in sex with a minor older than 12. He was being held without bond in the Miami-Dade jail. According to an arrest report, the child's parents went to the West Homestead K-8 Center on January 6th and said the teacher was having sex with their daughter. The child said she began communicating with Hodge in October 2022 when she was just 12 years old. He allegedly began exchanging nude photos, and then he told her to start meeting him at his classroom on Friday afternoons after school. Police allegedly told her to tell her parents she was staying for tutoring. Yeah, she got tutoring, all right. The girl eventually told her parents. Police said the teacher waived his right to remain silent, confessed to the accusations, and referred to the teen as his girlfriend. In a statement, the school district said Miami-Dade County Public Schools is deeply troubled by the disturbing allegations made by the individual. As soon as the claim surfaced, the employee was immediately removed from his position, which was probably doggy style. After a thorough investigation by the Miami-Dade Schools Police Department, the individual was subsequently arrested. Conduct such as the one he is accused of will not be tolerating. And he was dismissed.
Dismissed. Do you have anything to add to your story, Joe? Or are you just letting the story speak for itself?
The story speaks for itself, but I will add that this guy is out of his mind because he waived his right to remain silent. I loved her, you know? I mean, fifth day on the 12-year-old girl and A Bay girlfriend A Bay. You know?
All right.
Why do they always have to open their damn mouth? You know, I mean, like, people feel like, well, if I don't explain myself, if I don't talk to my interrogators, I'm going to look guilty. Yeah, but you're worse when you open your mouth. Shut up.
All right. What? Go on.
No, it just freaks me out how many times people, they're told their rights. You can sit there and dummy up, and you can get, and a lawyer will take care of this for you. Yeah, it's a foot race for me to confess to being with the 12-year-old. Hold on. Hold still. Everybody get comfy. I got a story to tell. Oh, God.
You know what? When they watch Law and Order or Dragnet or something, when they get a hold of them, they don't say shit.
Just say, I want a lawyer. Shut up. And even if they're telling you, well, you know, then we can't do anything for you, you aren't going to do anything for me anyway.
Right.
Shit. Oh, my God. I don't understand.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you got, Pip? Your number three contender.
Okay. Give me 2 seconds. I just got to click on the right thing.
No, I understand how the show can sneak up on you.
I know. I'm paying attention. Don't dummy up, you two. All right. Driver forgets wife during P-stop.
I saw that
forces
one.
Forces her to walk 12 and a half miles for help.
Saw that one.
For better or worse, he didn't mean to kick her to the curb. A Thai driver is being ridiculed online after accidentally leaving his passenger behind during a P-stop on Christmas Day, which forced her to walk over 12 miles to seek help. The marriage testing mistake occurred after Boonton Chai Moon, 55, and his wife, Mnue Chai Moon, 49, embarked on a road trip at 3 a.m. on Sunday to spend the New Year in her hometown in the Maha Sarakam province, Must Share News reported. All was going swimmingly until her husband said he urgently needed to urinate and parked his car by the side of the road. Mnue reportedly asked if her other half why he didn't stop at a gas station, but since he didn't answer, she also decided to relieve herself in the jungle. Her hubby apparently didn't notice she had to go too. When the wife returned from her bathroom break, she saw that her husband had driven off without her, leaving her alone on the side of the road in the dark, according to the local site. The feeling lost and scared, Amnue decided to walk to the district of Cabinbury, 20 kilometers, that's 12.4 miles away. After a seemingly endless trek, she arrived at the destination at 5 a.m., whereupon she reported to the local police station. However, her odyssey was far from over, as the stranded woman did not know her husband's number and had reportedly left her own phone inside a bag in the car. Reporters called the device over 20 times, but no one picked up. At that point, authorities attempted to contact her relatives instead. Amnue feared that she couldn't get a hold of her husband or family, she would have to exchange her gold necklace for travel money. It wasn't until 8 a.m. that authorities finally managed to get a hold of her absent-minded soulmate, who by that time had driven all the way to Korat Province, 159.6 kilometers, 100 miles away, according to Thailand Post in English. Upon hearing what he'd done, Boontum quickly turned around to drive back to Cabinbury and pick up his spouse. When asked how he could have driven so far without noticing her absence, the humiliated husband said he thought she was in the back seat sleeping the whole time. He apologized to his wife profusely upon return. You bet he did. Despite the epic act of forgetfulness, Amnue said they did not argue when he picked her up. I call bullshit. She later revealed that they'd been married for 27 years and have a 26-year-old son. This isn't the first time a husband has accidentally left his wife during a pit stop. In 2016, a woman was furious after her forgetful husband left her behind at a service station while driving from Brazil to Argentina. I think this is hilarious that the guy just, he pulls over at the side of a jungle to go take a pee, does a check to make sure the wife's in the car or everything's kosher, and drives away. That's just a walk on the side of a dark road next to the jungle for 12 miles just to get to some kind of civilization. Oh, he's in so much trouble.
You wouldn't look in the back seat before you go?
Well, I don't blame him. Join the peace and quiet. Now, that story was on my radar, but it did not make the three. I gave it a lot of consideration, but she seemed okay with it. They seemed good. So, like, compared to the other love fails that we're dealing with, I don't think it matches up. It's certainly a love fail, but
yes,
they're okay. Like if this would, if the, I mean, the 100 miles is hilarious. Like, really, dude? Really? But they're okay.
That's an hour and a half in the car.
At least, well, if you drive like we do.
Yeah,
didn't notice. She didn't make a peep.
Well, she better not. She might get left again. But and then I'll go to Joe. So that's why for me, I would say no. Now, why I would say no to Joe's, to me, it's not really a love fail. It could be a biggest fool and April Fools because the guy won't shut the hell up. But considering statutory rape, which is what this was, is that a girl that age can't consent. It's not really love. It's a crime. It's awful. The guy's a fool because he won't shut the fuck up. But it's not really a love fail.
I think it was a love fail because they both were exchanging pictures. And he was girlfriend and boyfriend?
Well, hold on. But she can't be. He can be the boy. In his mind, they can be. But she can't make that decision.
I understand what you're saying. I usually hold to that all the time. But, I mean, in their opinion, not whether it was right or wrong, in their opinion, they thought they were a couple.
But let me ask you a question. If the girl wanted to change her sex to be a boy, apparently in some cases they can make that decision. So why can't they not?
No. You're supposed to be consulting with parents and other adults. That's the problem. Nobody was consulted in this.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
That was the point you were trying to make. That was exactly the point you were trying to make.
But still, she you know, but the parents will do it on how the kid feels. If the girl feels that she wants to be the girlfriend, she's still in that right mind.
Well, but there are cultures where you can be married at 13 if your parents sign off on it. We're not that culture. That's the thing. Listen, man, it's just my opinion, but I don't think it's a love fail. I think it's creepy. I think it's wrong. I think he's a fool. I don't think it's a love fail. If you're going for love fails, my situation is a love fail. She's a whore. She's whoring all over the place. She takes out a police department. She's doing it in front of her man who's not like, this is cool. It's like, no, please stop this. Her whorishness cost him his freaking job. He's like, she's such a skank. I can't deal with that locker room. It's going, and this is a tough guy. Jedediah is a tough guy, but he's like, no. There should be, everybody's going to be showing me a picture of Powell's dick. I can't.
God. Oh, God.
That's the difference.
Yes, which is why it's a love fail. Yes, they're all adults.
I on this particular issue, I think that it's pretty clear cut to me that Davins is the most love-failish of the three.
Thank you.
Because it's, like, mine was, oh, God, he fucked up. But they do seem to be okay. And I think I was reading into it, like, how much trouble someone would be in if they left me in a jungle because they peed and drove away. And I was, like, on the side of the road for hours. Yeah, that would be big. That would be huge. But I think that somebody fucking half of their work place in front of me, not down. Not down with that. And Joe's is so creepy. Oh, God, it's so creepy. And I hear why you thought that, but I have to think I feel Davins is the biggest love fail.
All right. I am on the board. Now, Joe, that I'm on the board, would you concede mine's the biggest love fail? Or are you sticking with your guns?
I'm sticking with mine.
Okay, that's fine. Doesn't matter. I'm on the board with that. Pip, you go first on this one, and I will follow you up.
Okay, one sec. Oh, sorry.
For number two. For number two, biggest love fail.
Okay. Oh, this is, okay. Woman ditches boyfriend in the middle of vacation after prank he pulled at the Grand Canyon. A woman's worst fear came true after going to the Grand Canyon with her boyfriend, causing her to leave him in Arizona. This was posted to the subreddit, Am I the A-Hole, on Reddit. The woman explained that she decided to take a trip with her boyfriend to see the Grand Canyon. She's deathly afraid of heights, and because of the fear, she refuses to go near windows, railings, or anything that overlooks heights of any kind. Despite her fear, she still wanted to go to the Grand Canyon, such a famous destination. I had multiple convos with my boyfriend about my fears, at least five separate in-depth conversations about how scared I was about having a panic attack around strangers, and she says, I have a long history of panic attacks. The woman's boyfriend assured her that he would keep her away from any ledges and calm her down if she became overwhelmed or scared at any point during the trip. However, it seemed as if her boyfriend didn't quite consider her fear as he had originally promised to, making their scenic stop for photos into a potentially relationship-ending argument. The woman's boyfriend decided to joke around and grab her, pretending to push her over the edge of the cliff. The woman immediately started freaking out and ended up having a panic attack in front of the rest of the tour group while the tour guide attempted to calm her down. I'm not proud of how I acted, but I'll tell you, it wasn't pretty. I was sobbing and yelling, and he was cruel for doing this. That he knew I was terrified and he was evil for using that against me, she continued. In response, her boyfriend was yelling back at her, repeatedly saying that it was a joke and that she was taking things way too seriously and to get over it because she's embarrassing herself and him. She told her boyfriend that he was a horrible person and that his ex was right to leave him. His ex left him because she thought he was immature, but she left right before a high-profile family event and embarrassed him among his family, the woman explained, adding that her boyfriend became upset that she said that, especially in public. The tour guide eventually separated the two of them and took the woman back to his office. She had no idea, she had no idea where her boyfriend went after, but decided she was going to leave Arizona because of how upset and angry she was over the entire incident. He wasn't in our hotel when I got my stuff and got a flight to my parents' state, and I've been staying here while I figure out this relationship is still alive. The woman and her boyfriend lived together and worked for the same company, and she expressed that if they broke up, things could become very messy between the two of them. Many of their mutual friends she shares with her boyfriend have been reaching out to her and telling her that she's overreacting. Besides my three closest friends, I haven't told anyone anything, but because they all know him as well, everyone has heard some version of events, and they think they're making it seem like I'm leading a PR campaign against him. The woman's friends are upset that she left him in Arizona, despite the fact that she left him with their rental car, the hotel, and she took an Uber to the airport. She had also paid for everything on the trip, as well as leaving him a note telling him where she was going. I feel like people don't understand, but there are so many people saying the same thing that I'm starting to question myself, she concluded. The majority of the people on Reddit said she was not the a-hole. Now, if you had a tremendous fear of something and you're trying to broaden your horizons and go do something that is really going against your comfort zone, but you're trying, and you had numerous conversations with your beloved about what you need from them, how scared you are to do this, and lining up what are the things that you really would not want to happen, the worst thing for them to do is trying to freak them out at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Oh my God, what an ass.
I actually have a story similar to that. Not to that degree, but very similar.
A real story?
A real story. I was at the last time I was ever at City Steam in Hartford, Connecticut, which I used to play all the time when it was a club.
Yeah, same here.
When it was a club worth playing. So it's one of the. I'm having a great weekend, and there's this group of younger people in their 20s or whatever, and in the front row, and there's this girl in this group, and I'm talking to her, and she's like really uptight. I'm being nice to her. I'm forgetting a lot of the details. But for some reason, now another girl starts yelling at her from like the back of the room, and I'm like, "All right, guys, lock the doors. We're gonna have like a girl fight or something. Something that you do."
Yeah.
But she's getting all upset. I'm not the one upsetting her. She's getting really upset, so she runs out into the hall. After my set, I'm talking to her, like, you know, "Are you okay?" She's like, "It's not you. It's my boyfriend. He knows I'm afraid of being crowds, and he made me sit in the front row."
Oh!
And it wasn't. Oh. She wasn't mad at me, but guess who got banned from the club because of that?
No!
Yeah, hold on, Joe. Yeah, let that sink in. I got banned because this douche did that to his girlfriend. I wasn't egging it on, but because I was on stage. So it's similar. That would be a love fail. Go on, Joe.
Now, we both missed playing that club. However, that being said, was it the late show or the early show?
I think it was the late show, packed.
Yeah. Right. Now, with that being said, just so you know, and the audience, CC, great club to play. The first show, always fun. You're glad to be a comic. It's great. The fucking second show is a goddamn zoo. A fucking zoo. Zoo, yeah. And you're like, it's like, I thought I liked playing here, but yeah, it is that fucking second show in that joint is a fucking zoo.
How terrible.
There was also the time a few years ago, I told the story in the air, I don't remember all the details, I'll have to look at here one of the old shows, but when I was in Atlantis, where a guy proposed to his girlfriend on stage, but was just then kidding about it, and she was furious.
Oh, no.
I remember that
Yes.
What a fucking asshole.
Yes.
Did you call him that?
So the reason I tell these stories is, yeah, I mean, they're along those same lines. Guys can be really fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you were afraid, now, I not apparently to the woman in the story's degree, but I am afraid of heights. And if I was trying to do something and I was like on the top of the ladder and somebody thought it was funny to pretend to shake the ladder, I tell you, I am going to be on the front page of the Post for murder because I don't think that's fucking funny. You're a dead man. Dead man.
Funny.
So if you're on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you have a woman who's deathly afraid of heights and she's trying to be brave about it, and this douche, who they've had many conversations about this, and don't make me have a panic attack. Please don't do anything to make me have a panic attack. Does exactly that, and then starts going, oh, you're embarrassing me. He's getting pushed in next.
No, he's in the wrong. But to move the show along, speaking of dead man, that will bring us to my story.
Okay.
A married Wisconsin woman accused of killing and dismembering her lover during a meth-addled sex has been described by the victim's uncle as a monster, according to a report. This is a little different than my first story. Taylor, everybody gets a name, Shabusiness. Mine's Shabusiness, you assholes. Tyler Shabusiness, 24, allegedly decapitated the Green Bay man after the crazed romp, then dumped his head and penis in a bucket and his legs in a crock pot. The victim was identified by the Daily Mail as 24-year-old Shad Rock Thyrione, whose uncle shared the family's anguish at the young man's brutal demise. Yesterday, we were given devastating news. Our nephew, Shad Thyrion, was taken from us by what I can only assume is a monster, Nathan Minnesota reportedly said on Facebook. He described Thyrion as someone who had a good heart and soul, adding, Shad, I love you so much, I can't even begin to describe what we are feeling. Shabusiness faces charges of first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault in the ghastly crime. Let's really dive into this, kids. Police were called to a home on Stony Brook Lane about 3:30 a.m. February 23rd, just under the line, by February 23rd, by Thyrion's mother, Tara Pakenick, 47, who reported finding his head in a bucket, according to the outlet. You know, a lot of women get freaked out by a mouse in the kitchen. Imagine finding a head in the bucket.
Oh, my God.
She said she made the shocking discovery after being awakened by a door being slammed and a vehicle being driven away. Shabusiness was found at a home on Eastman Avenue with dried blood on her clothes, WBA reported. During a search of a van, police found a crock pot with human remains, including legs, according to a criminal complaint. At the mother's house of horrors, they later found the head and the male organ in the bucket and upper torso in a storage tote, body fluids, and knives. She told police she and the man had been smoking meth before going to his mother's house, where they had sex using chains, according to WBA. Shabusiness said she had blacked out at one point, then went crazy and began choking her partner, insisting she did not mean to kill him, but enjoyed choking him. She said police were going to have fun trying to find all the organs as she dismembered the body. Shabusiness stated all the body parts should be in the basement, according to the complaint. Shabusiness stated she used knives that she obtained from the kitchen of the residence and that a bread knife worked the best because of the serrated blade. The complaint continues.
Good tip.
Mr. Helix, sleep with one eye open. Pip's not...
He only buys sliced bread, trust me.
Yeah, Pip's not making garlic bread tonight, sir. She also said she planned on taking all the body parts with her, but got lazy and only ended up putting the leg and the foot in the van, and she forgot the head, according to the complaint. You know,
you lazy slob.
You just get so tired. The married Shabusiness, who recently became a mother, claimed that she and Thyrion had been smoking methamphetamine earlier in the day. She said she also shot herself and her sex partner up with trazodone, an antidepressant and powerful sedative. When informed by cops that they had the victim's head in a bucket, Shabusiness reportedly said, that's pretty fucked up.
Did she literally say that?
Yes! Yes! These are all things that she literally said. Listen, Pip, If I'm going to go with a dismemberment, I know this show. You have to go the extra mile. We've all had dismemberments before. And when asked how that happened, officials replied, when asked what had happened, officials said she replied, that's a good question. The woman told investigators that Therion had brought along two chains for the sex session, one of which he placed around the neck before she went crazy and strangled him, the outlet said. The alleged killer said that when she felt Therion's heart beating, she kept choking him harder, claiming he would not die because he kept, and I quote, rebuilding into muscle, the outlet reported, citing the complaint. Shabizna said she sat on the victim and waited for him to die as he coughed up blood. Yeah, I like that she said about choking Therion, the complaint report stated. Shabizna stated that she sucked the victim's penis, that she had a dildo that she put in the victim's mouth, and then in the victim's acid added. The man can't even rest in peace. She's spilling all the tea. The poor son of a bitch can't even die with dignity. Yeah, I did ass to mouth with a corpse. He's... Meanwhile, the reporter who broke the story on serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer in Milwaukee in 1991 told WBA that the suspect in the Green Bay case had an infatuation with Jeffrey Dahmer and with Jeffrey Dahmer crimes. Ann Schwartz pointed out to the outlet Shabizna's comment that she liked it. And that is what makes this case different to me, is that she's admitting, if what is in the criminal complaint is accurate, she's admitting that there's a predilection to that, and that there was a thrill in that in some way, she said. Schwartz also mentioned a sinister post by Shabizna on Facebook, and this is irrelevant to the story, where she wrote on January 13th, went off and told an addict, I'll never stop buying you dope, so I can sit back and watch you die. The fact that she is or was using social media to telegraph some of these sentiments makes her unusual again for someone that emulated the Jeffrey Dahmer case, because he didn't telegraph anything. A court commissioner set a $2 million cash bond during the suspect's hearing on Tuesday when she was ordered to make her next appearance. All right. So spreading – again, I understand what this show is. I know you kids don't bat an eyeball anymore for your run-of-the-mill dismemberment. I know what I have to bring to the table for my number two story.
Did you notice me screaming earlier? Did you miss that?
That's how I know I'm on the right track. It really is. You are my barometer. How as wide as your mouth goes, much like this man's head with a cock in it. I know we are doing well. Spreading the body parts showed a certain amount of verve for the task at hand.
How many body parts were there that she spread around?
I have a feeling whatever number I'm going to say, Joe's going to say, that's not really enough.
Yeah, well, my story has more body parts than yours.
I feel like that's what would happen. But we know...
I mean, that's what's coming.
We know, Joe, we know of body fluids, we know of legs, we know of a head, we know of a torso, and we know of a penis. That's what we know of.
And the rest are supposed to be down in the basement somewhere.
Yes. Putting the legs in the crock pot like you've decided dark meat should be slow cooked for maximum juiciness. I like that little detail. She's not just leaving this shit trying to hide it. She's like, I'm going to save this for later. I like to slow cook my victim's legs. To put the...
You know, like, a leg is, like, up there.
Yes.
And you're kind of shoved... I'm sorry, I'm visualizing this whole thing. I mean, like, there's a crockpot that's down here, and there's this entire leg sticking out of it. Like, you're never going to get that all cut that way.
To put the head in a bucket with his dick does show a certain amount of humor.
Wait, what were you bobbing for, sir?
I got a roar. You know, he always wanted to do this while he was alive. Now he can do it.
Oh God!
To remember the bread knife did the best cutting of her man. She also said she planned on taking the body parts with her, but got lazy and only ended up putting the leg foot in the van. She forgot the head, according to the claim. She couldn't even be bothered to take him with her because she was lazy. Like his corpse was his fault, so fuck him. You just lying around there. Why don't you help me take your dismembered body? Load yourself into the car, asshole. Oh, wait, you can't because you don't have legs.
So you expect me to carry this all by myself?
That's why I had to do what I do. The alleged killer said that she felt Theron's heart beating. She kept choking him harder, claiming he would not die because he kept rebuilding into muscle, the outlet reported. Like the stupid son of a gun wanted to live. Such an inconvenience. Why won't you die? Which is probably something Joe muttered to himself in his married days.
Yeah. He's not denying it.
Shabizna, she sat on the victim and waited for him to die as he coughed the blood. Yeah, I liked it. And then Shabizna stated that she sucked the penis. So in death, the bucket, she made him do ass to mouth, like you said. And lest we forget, I almost forgot. Lest we forget, this bitch is married to somebody else. She's doing this. She's got a double love fail. And she's a worse mom because she just gave birth to a kid. But she's got a double love fail. She's cheating and she's killing and dismembering in a very spectacular and entertaining way. So that is why this is my number two love fail.
This is only number two?
I might have, as Joe likes to say, you know, it's all about where you put them. I might have made a mistake. I might have made a mistake here, like I was telling you in the pre-show. We'll see. But this is my number two. So what say you, Mr. Curry? What do you have for us?
Well, you discuss where you pull the story. Like I said, it's like playing chess as the story goes. So here I go. And the reason I was asking about quantity, you'll see why.
I knew there was a reason.
There is. Indians react in horror after man kills girlfriend, chops body into 35 parts.
I saw that one.
The accused, arrested 6 months after the murder, says he was inspired by the TV show Dexter.
Maybe I didn't see this one. Okay, go on.
Wait, yeah, but well, I'm sorry, the TV show what?
Dexter.
Dexter.
Oh.
So, this guy was an Irishman, Muwasha Mustafar. Wednesday, 16th of November, 2022, a 28-year-old Indian man wanted to silence his 26-year-old girlfriend during a fight, ended up strangling her, then chopping up her body into 35 pieces, and then hiding the parts in the fridge, police have revealed. The gruesome murder has come to light after 6 months. Afteem Amin Poonawala allegedly strangled his live-in partner, Shardawa Walker. I love the way Shardawa Walker. Anyway, Shardawa Walker.
That's the problem with the story that Joe has. I don't like this last name for this Indian family.
But he strangled his living partner, Shardawa Walker, in May of 2022, cut her body into pieces that he later dumped into a forest near the apartment Murali in south of the capital of Delhi. Police said that he used to venture around 2 a.m. on some nights with pieces of his girlfriend's body to dispose of them. He allegedly spent 2 to 3 months dumping the pieces, the Indian Express reported. Revealed he removed the intestines first so they could decompose easily.
I did see this one. I did. Right. Now that you said this, I did see this one.
Right. Poonawala has told police he was inspired by the award-winning drama crime series Dexter. He has revealed that he wanted to silence her, but ended up strangling her, he has told police, that he kept Walker's body part.
Hold on. Let me stop you here. Does it say if after he made that mistake he said, oopsie?
Oopsie. Yes.
Oopsie.
But, you know, he made a decision. He kept the body parts in a small black polyurethane bag, allegedly inspired by the show's main character, vigilante serial killer Dexter Morgan, played by Michael C. Hall. Here was an outpouring of grief and condolences from Walker's family as they grappled with the gory details of their daughter's murder. Mr. Poonawala and Walker met on the dating app Bumble in Mumbai in 2019, fell in love, and decided to move in together. After Walker's family ejected the move, as they both belonged to different faiths. Well, that was a smart decision. The couple decided to go into the mountains where the Himachal Pradesh first, where they went to Himachal Pradesh first, then traveled to Delhi, where they rented. Anybody want to go to Cleveland? Where they rented an apartment.
No!
That's Delhi!
Wait a minute. Joe, did you just do that because they're Indians, because they're Cleveland Indians? Is that what you were going for?
No, I said I got to pronounce all these fucking names. You're going to go to Cleveland?
Oh, stop your whining. I do this shit every week.
I understand that. I'm not whining. I'm just commenting.
Did you see me struggle through mine?
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
Right. I know you did.
We picked him. All right. In May, the couple had a fight over a petty matter, but Walker suggested they get married, according to senior Delhi officials, Anakin Kuran. Yeah, just when you have a big fight, maybe we'll get married. Mr. Kuwala, a food blogger and photographer, allegedly strangled her and then cut her body into pieces in their bathroom, local media reports. Quoting police sources familiar with the investigation mentioned that disposed of the body parts, Mr. Kuwala used to walk to dumping parts in a crematory yard and discarded the head and the torso almost after 3 months. The print quoted police sources that Kuwala stored his ice cream and cold drinks alongside the body parts in his refrigerator.
That's a nice detail.
It's
a nice detail right there.
Oh, God.
To cover up his act, Mr. Kuwala allegedly used Walker's Instagram account to keep in touch with her friends. He kept using it until June. It was only in September that a friend of Walker's grew suspicious and switched off phone and inactivity on social media. She then informed her brother. The accused got away with the murder for months. Police on Saturday finally arrested him. He has been sent to 5 days in police custody. Besides the general public, several prominent personalities in the country reacted in shock and horror of the murder of Walker. Tabitha Krishman, a prominent activist, said in a statement that AFAB must be tried and convicted and punished for murdering Sharada, chopping up her body and covering up his crime. Wamba Bashkar, actor and activist, tweeted, "No words for how far and gruesome and tragic this case is. My heart goes out to the poor girl." Well, her heart went out as well. Awful betrayal by someone she loved and trusted. Hope the police speedily conclude their investigation and hope this monster gets the harshest punishment he thoroughly deserves. Police have said that after hiding the body parts of his girlfriend in the new fridge that he purchased to store the chopped pieces, just, you know, sometimes you want to upgrade to a bigger fridge. Petawala continued living his life and even started dating again.
No!
Well, wait a second. I mean, that's a love success, kids. That's a love success. If she's still alive and with her whole body, that's a win.
Well, on one occasion, he even invited a woman with whom he had matched on Bumble to his home.
Sure.
All this while Walker's body pieces were in the refrigerator. Kuwala used incense sticks, potpourri, and air fresheners to mask the stench of the remains in the fridge. You know, me, I would have threw some Arm & Hammer in there. That kills some, you know, kills fish.
Arm & Hammer. I got gotcha. You.
In your fridge. Anybody want a Coke? No, thank you.
The Delhi police may write to Bumble to get the details of Kuwala's profile on the dating site and find out more about the woman who visited the home and Walker's body was still in the fridge. Their common friends have also been called for questioning. Meanwhile, Walker's father, Vikas Walker, told the media that he suspected a love jihad angle in the murder of his daughter. And he was quoted in saying that the Indian expressed that she was a different person before she met Kuwala. She was sweet and ambitious. And then she fell to pieces. I don't know what happened.
He did it.
It's like Joe's auditioning for the New York Post live on the air.
And she fell to pieces. Jesus.
The father said that the daughter stopped talking to him and rarely spoke to her mother. I was worried about the mother's death. I knew she was in a toxic relationship. Well, she got toxic in the fridge with that boy. And I stopped talking to her, but she, you know, tried to talk to her. She wouldn't listen. Love jihad is a theory perpetuated in India by right-wing fringe groups. There's always one of them. To which venerable Hindu girls are romantically targeted and eventually converted to Islam by Muslim fundamentalists in order to increase the numbers of Muslims in the country and decreases the population of Hindus. On social media, there was a raging debate over the faith of Mr. Kuwala. Some claimed he is a Zoroastrian, but others said he was a Muslim. Meanwhile, the father of the girl said, "We demand the death penalty to Afghan. I trust Delhi police, and the probe is moving in the right direction." Shardara was close to her uncle and didn't talk to me much. "I never was in touch with Afghan, but I lodged the first complaint in Mumbai's Vaisal. But the case was later transferred to Delhi based on Walker's last location." And that's my numero dos.
I saw this story. I didn't have all the little tidbits that you had when I saw this story. It's a good story.
Yeah, most of the tidbits were in the fridge.
Yeah. All right. I think although Pips is the most relatable, hopefully, I think we have to. I think we have to say goodbye to Pips story number two. Is that is?
Would anybody like a drink from my fridge?
No, you creep.
And for everybody that goes. Did we only discuss policy on the show? No, we take a break and do this.
Yeah, sure.
we talk about body parts sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Policy all the time.
My God. You know what? I willingly take myself out of it because mine was emotional. It was not bits and pieces.
Well, I feel like Joe shifted his little lineup to go head to head because that's a Joe move. Joe likes to move the pieces around on the board, so I feel that's what Joe did to put his story up against mine, which is a fine move. It's fine.
You had to sit there and think how to do it, which I did, and you discussed the pros and cons of it. You know, will I win the story or do I try to go for the first story? Like I said, the dynamic of this game has changed. Where, like you said, well, we got to do three stars. I'll pick seven, you know, and then I'll
yeah.
Oh, I got a ton. I got a ton.
I'll supplement my cards in a deck to see where everybody's going, and see, you know, and this is exactly the case here to face off.
Well, now, once I have my stories, I stick with my stories, and I know I'm taking a gamble with story number one, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So Pips is off the board. I got to tell you, I mean, Joe's very very gross, as is mine. I think it's got to be mine for the entertainment value, the verve, and the fact that if they're arm in arm, if you will, scattered as they will, I might get the edge for Love Fail because she also cheated on her husband. That might be the edge because we have two horrible, horrible killings and mutilations. But mine is also an adulteress.
But on the horror of the killing,
they're both terrible, Joe. They're both terrible.
Like, so terrible.
Yeah, like, really, if you're looking to pick our stories apart, on the killings, it's really entertainment value. Which one you find more entertaining and ridiculous? That's what it would have to be. Which is why I'm like, I don't even want to go there. Thank God my lunatic is also an adulteress. Thank God she has that little, it's like, you know, it's like winning a game of cards with a two. You know what? Like, by itself, the two of spades, not so much. But with the two hands we have here, this two of spades might be just what I need.
Oh, what the juicy, juicy murders we have had.
We really did. We really did. It's quite disgusting.
I am overwhelmed by the disgusting details, the shocking, bizarre, and terribleness of both of these stories. And, Devin, I know how much this frustrates you, but I have to say this one's a tie.
Really? I get no points at the fact that my star is a Love Fail times two? That counts for how can that be?
That's good, but I also have the tidbit of this crazy guy dating people with the dead body still in the house.
Well, yeah, but what are you going to do? There's no reason to punish yourself.
Well, no, but still, you've got the golf to go out.
Yes, of course he does. He's a lunatic.
Can I grab a Coke and go in there and like, what's this? Maybe you should throw this out. No, leave it there. Don't touch nothing.
Excuse me. Cock and head in bucket that mom discovers. Excuse me. This one's not even trying to hide it. She's just leaving it out and gets tired of putting him away. She's like, oh, I got bored of this shit. I do like that detail. I do like that detail. That's a great detail. But mine tried. You know, legs in the crock pot. I mean, she's trying. She's trying. She just got tired.
Well, you don't buy a new refrigerator till there's Freon spraying all over your fucking kitchen. This guy.
You know what, Joe? No. Lots of people, including yours truly, have a second fridge. Where there's a need, you buy the appliance.
I have a second freezer in my basement.
Yeah.
I say no more.
I say that these two stories go head to head, and it should be a tie.
Yeah, which means that Joe really thinks I won. I understand what Joe's doing here.
I didn't say that.
I know, but so I get no point. I get no points for her being a two-time love fail. Really?
No. I did consider that, and especially when you said that. But they're both so strong, and I did consider the fact that he was still bringing other people into the house, like, for months with a dead body there. Now, she got caught right away. And so it was like, yeah, but, it wasn't like this was well thought out, and like, she was like, working on, he's like, writing posts as his girlfriend to keep people off the, this was just.
Yeah, hold on. All very impressive. All make for the entertainment value of the story, which is very important. I just don't see how that aspect of it is a love fail.
That aspect of it is not the love fail.
That's what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying, that you're saying that there's more than one, like, person being...
And a worst mom, Pip. And a worst mom. I give you two love fails and a worst mom.
What?
No, the mom's gotta go.
The paucity of the story is also criteria of this love fail.
Oh, absolutely.
That clicks the box.
Did I tell you she sucked his dick and put the dildo in his ass? Did I tell you that? Did I tell you that his muscles kept on rebuilding as she choked the life out of him? So please, I know ridiculousness.
Wait. I don't know what his muscles kept rebuilding means.
Neither does she, apparently. She was choking him, and the son of a bitch wouldn't die, and the police questioned. She's like, yeah, I'm sitting on him, I'm trying to choke the life out of him, and his muscles kept on rebuilding. The son of a bitch wanted to live. How inconvenient.
This is the woman that sees dragons in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
No. Her mother sees heads in the buckets in the kitchen. Keep it straight. All right, Pip. I feel I've made an excellent case, but make your decision. We move on.
I'm sorry. I really do feel like they are both really strong, and I mean, we can argue this till the cows come home, but I feel tie.
All right, fine.
Tie. Yay.
Fine. Terrible. Darryl.
My guitar player says he had pork loin main tonight and some cake. Michael, I don't know what else was in the fridge.
yeah. It's like, are you sure that was pork loin main, dude?
Yeah.
Well, it's Chinese food.
I'm scared.
It's Chinese food. You never know what you're eating.
Now, here we are in the competition right now. We're going to story number three. Gavin had some pretty heavy duty story. I had to pull one of my stories to go up against it. On my part, it's a gamble where we're going with story three, or story number one, rather. Did I take the chance of tying and maybe winning and losing the third story? So the pot's full. Let's play.
Well, as I said on the pre-show, and you'll see why when I reveal my story, it was a gamble. I also said on the pre-show that there's a story that I really liked, but I didn't know if it would hold up, so it'll have to be a future outstanding display of spite, which I'm really looking forward to doing that story as well. But Joe, kick us off for the first contender of the number one story.
All right. Okay. Muskegon, Michigan. Michigan lawyer running for judge. Position, caught, belt whipping girlfriend. 2 weeks after winning the August primary, judicial candidate Jason. Can people have normal fucking names? Jason, we're in the States now. We're not in India anymore. Jason Kokima appeared to viciously whip his girlfriend with a belt during an argument in his Western Michigan apartment, presumably unaware that nearby witnesses were recording the scene. When he noticed the onlookers from his window, the 51-year-old lawyer flashed them a peace sign and has since claimed the video isn't what it seems. He was striking a chair with his belt and not his girlfriend. But obviously, chairs don't fucking yell in pain. But anyway, the, the, woman and his lawyer may change. But the video triggered criminal charges and a tsunami of public outrage in the city of Muskegon, which borders Lake Michigan and is about 40 miles northwest of Grand Rapids, a city which is perfect for Davin and Joe to go on the road to. And a scandal... It's any major city, we're easily 30 miles on the outskirts of it. All right.
Right where we belong.
In a scandalous judicial election that has stirred much debate in Western Michigan, the topic of domestic violence has taken center stage as women's rights activists fight to keep the Kokima off the bench, arguing he isn't fit to be judged, especially in cases involving battered women and vulnerable children. Kokima, arraigned on September 19th on domestic violence charges, has a history of losing his temper, behaving violently around women and children, including spitting on a 12-year-old girl, and has violated court orders, lied about his relationships with client girlfriend, battled an Adderall addiction, and failed to pay trial support, according to decades worth of court and police records by the Free Press. I cannot imagine a victim sitting in front of Jason Kokima asking him to protect from an assailant, said Heather Fry, a Muskegon mother, domestic abuse survivor, and longtime victims advocate. I'm sorry we saw what we saw. The video is very damning, Fry said. It was a violent act meant to instill fear. Kokima has declined numerous requests for comment, though addressed the video briefly on his Facebook page, stating, I understand the optics are bad. I understand the anger and disappointment, especially from the people who voted for me and supported me. All the facts will be revealed in due time, Kokima wrote. He is responding to a Facebook commenter who wrote, we don't support abusers in my community. On his campaign website, Kokima portrays himself as a proud Muskegon native and accomplished lawyer who learned how to whip people with belts. But compassion and empathy...
Hold on. Did he say that or did you say that?
No, I said that.
Okay.
I knew it.
All right, because you were going to get points if he said that.
But he said he learned compassion, empathy, and importance of service to the community from his homemaker mother. 2 days before the belt incident, Kokima allegedly spit on his girlfriend's 12-year-old daughter as she slept in his apartment with her mom, despite a court order that prohibited him from being around the girl. He allegedly spewed toothpaste on the girl and her mother, then threw water on them. Well, he wants them to clean up. Because he was angry about the previous fight, according to the Ottawa County Court records, the next day he allegedly threw a Gatorade bottle at his girlfriend and her daughter, but missed and hit the lamp. 3 months earlier, Fort police got a call from Kokima's girlfriend saying, my boyfriend just slapped me. When the police arrived, Kokima told the officer, his girlfriend gets like this when she is drunk. And that is my story.
I want to go on the record right now that Joe definitely moved his story that he wanted to go number one to number two to battle my story. I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact. He shuffled the decks.
But there's something about that. You got it. You know, you figure. But if I had to debate the story, that last story, I couldn't debate this story. You're trying to go for a win. You're trying to rack up the wins. So I couldn't go with this. You proposed that story. I had a story that was just as bad, and when we both go debating it, I had bullet points as much as you did, so you're trying to go for the win. Knowing that, all right, you move on to the next story, you might lose, but you don't know. But you have to go with what you have to debate at that moment. We're going for points across the board. You know, if I can get one point out of it, I'll go for the
win. Well, we're all there's points across the board. There's also number one overall. I mean, both are very exciting.
Yeah, but you know, you look. But you don't know where you're going to the next story. I know where you exactly are with the story from the last segment. So I have to go something to try to get a win somewhere.
All right. So we got the belty judge. What do you got here, Pip?
Well, to your surprise, my big story is the same one as your last story, the head and penis soup.
Wow. All right. So we know that story.
I was holding out.
All right. See, that's interesting.
You had more details in your version of it than I had. There was some stuff that you were saying that I was like, no, because I didn't know that.
Now, that's interesting. Because the curry strategy on that is you move that one up to number two to get the point where you can. That's the curry strategy. Yeah. Interesting.
No, I kept that as my big closer.
Yeah, but. You know, taking on the strategy of it, and kind of the rules have changed over the years we've done it. where if you had the same story, you know, well, that's too bad on you. But if you had the same story as the other one, you could bring that story on and try to go with the other guy and do, you know, and two against one. And we've done that in the past. I'm surprised you didn't. I didn't. You know.
Yeah, that would go up. That would have been nice, Pip. You could have been on the board.
You could have won. You guys could have won instead of a tie. You two could have won that against me.
Well, Pip and I would have tied. Pip could have actually gotten a point. The only difference would have been between you two. Interesting.
But I left.
I think about 3 years ago, we changed that rule.
Yeah, but I left mine where it is because I know it's such a strong story.
All right, well, let's see.
But now I'm afraid of what Davin's story is.
I went in a all three of my stories completely different directions.
Okay.
Hours after exchanging vows, a North Carolina couple exchanged blows at a Florida hotel, according to police, who found the bride in a wedding dress covered in blood and the groom with injuries to his face. Police were called early Sunday morning to the Hilton in Naples, where they encountered Stephanie Gina's 32 at the hotel salon room. Gina's wedding dress had several blood spots down the front, and the left strap of her dress was torn, according to the Naples Police Department. Gina's face and chest were covered in blood, and she was crying, cops noted. Gina's mother told officers that the newlywed was involved in some sort of altercation with John Gerhardt, 43, the man Stephanie had married earlier that evening. Gina's told cops the couple had quarreled about her brother while in their hotel room and that the dispute turned violent. Gina suffered a bloody nose, busted upper lip, and swollen eye during the altercation, police reported. Gerhardt, who said that his wife headbutted him, had a cut on the bridge of his nose, swelling on his face, and dried blood on his pants. Since Gina's and Gerhardt each claimed to be the disputee's primary aggressor, both were arrested for domestic battery. The couple who lived in Newport, North Carolina, were booked into the Collier County Jail on the misdemeanor count. Gina's and Gerhardt were each released yesterday on a $1,000 bond. Listen, anybody can get fed up with their partner. To wind up in jail, both of you, fighting with your spouse on probably the happiest night of your life, the night you love that other person the most, the wedding dress is still on, and you kids are brawling and going to jail. That is the biggest love fail you can have. I mean, and I did it strictly because if it's a month later, it doesn't even make it. But the night of the wedding, in your wedding dress, and you guys are brawling, and you're both brought up on charges. A double love fail in the same story. This is why this has to be the 2023 biggest love fail of the year.
I disagree.
Of course you do. You're a terrible human being.
What was their stature in society? Did the story say that?
Yes, yeah, yes, Joe. They were both politicians in the Republican Party. I don't know, Joe. I don't know their stature.
But you had somebody with the stature of a judge, that also was saying that he was for decency and morality. And number one, he winds up whipping his girlfriend with a belt, flashes a peace sign when he sees neighbors. Claimed that he was whipping a striking a chair with his belt and not his girlfriend. Also on that, he also spit on the woman's daughter, toothpaste, threw water at them, you know, missed and hit the lamp. So I think on the action, you have one action, but you do have several actions from stature claiming morality. I think in this case that my story has more validity.
The stuff about the daughter is irrelevant for the purposes of this.
Pip
made that ruling in the last one.
I think that throwing something at somebody's daughter shows a lot more disrespect from that.
Sure. That's a bad guy.
And I think that's more of a love deal. You also throw somebody, but you also show disrespect to their daughter.
No, you just showed me further proof.
That's the point.
No, you just show me further proof. This is a bad guy. This is what this guy does. It's not, to me, I'm not even impressed with this story. To me, this is just a domestic abuser. I think we've all had better stories than this. I think for me, the elephant in the room is the gruesomeness that was my number two story and Pip's number one story. and the immediacy of you just got married and you can't keep your shit together. Not only are you arguing, you're both brought up on charges. You're hauled off to court, not the day after your wedding, on your wedding night, while you're wearing your white wedding dress. This woman is 42, 43 years old. She's waited her whole life for this, and these two knuckleheads can't even keep their shit together. I'm sorry. It's not even. You know, listen, I said my point. Pip, what do you think? What do you think, Pip?
I have two words.
Suck it. No.
Suck it.
Yeah.
No. Head. Penis.
I love them both.
I know we already had the discussion about your story, but this is the contender against whipping a chair and the drunken brawl after the wedding. I got a bucket full of head and penis, which, by the way, is the worst name for shampoo ever.
Yes. All right. Now, all right. Well, Pip, let me ask you a question. In my mind, Joe's is the weakest of these three stories.
No,
I'm asking her. If she thinks mine's weaker than yours, then I might be wrong. Then I might be in trouble here. But out of the three stories, I think Joe's is the weakest.
To tell you the truth, I think yours is the weakest.
I didn't ask you what you thought. I asked her. I know what you think. I know you were going to say mine, you creep.
My story sucks. Oh, I'm out. Now, if the judge supposedly with this woman and he is beating her with a belt, I'm not a big fan. Now, I do think this is what a terrible person I am, but there is some level of hilarity to the bride and groom beating the tar out of each other on the day they were married. So I kind of enjoy that story more, just because it's funny picturing them all bloody in her wedding.
And that's why we're here, kids. It's not to read the police blotter. There's a lot of awful stories that I'm sure we all sifted through.
But do you think that somebody professes their morality?
No.
I'm not asking you.
Well, okay.
What part is just don't you understand? All right. Now, do you feel, Pip, that on somebody that professes morality and empathy and important to service of the community and is a judge and acts like that, don't you think that's worse than a couple? Because a couple may get in a fight, but this is somebody that this couple never professed morality, never felt good conscience, and they were not judges or political figures. This guy was. And I think that during the stature, that this is more of a despicable move than on this matter, the newlyweds.
Well, here's what I was thinking about with that. If this was just taken on their merits and there was no categorizing, I think that your story is worse because he is a person that is supposed to be held up to a certain standard and supposed to be moral. And this is supposed to be a person that you're supposed to go to with your problems and have this person be the intelligent, rational person who's supposed to make decisions when obviously he's spitting toothpaste on 12-year-olds and beating the tar out of his girlfriend and feel like, given the peace sign with neighbors when he gets caught. This is a despicable, horrible person. And it's worse because he's held to a certain standard. However, this is Love Fails. And as far as that goes, and are looking for a little panache, David's story is better because the funniness of couple, they're still in their wedding garb, and it's bloody because they beat each other, which is really funny. And it's a more of a love fail. I understand that maybe he loved the girlfriend, but that's not in evidence. These are people that just freshly got married. What more of a
Did you just say that in my story it was more of a love fail? Did I misunderstand?
No, my story.
No, Davin's is more of a love fail because they just got married. They both spoke before God and all attended how much they love each other and then started beating the tar out of each other. I don't know what the relationship was between your folks. He's a despicable person, but as far as love failing immediately, Davin's is better.
Okay. So there we are. And that was the gamble that I took. That was the gamble.
Well, but wait.
What?
I still have
who
has a penis. Hold
on.
And
hold
I
on.
Had the
hold on. Relax. I'm the host of this show. I'm not declaring victory. I'm just
okay.
I'm just saying we've decided on that particular one that Joe's was the worst of the three as far as love fails. So here we are, Pip and I squaring off. Ultimately, this is going to come down to Joe's. Now, it is interesting here that in both these stories, there are two love fails, but I got no credit for the love fail in the previous story, and now Pip is going, I'm sure, to try to claim some credit for the love fail in this story.
Well, here's the deal. I feel that Pip wins this segment, and I'll tell you why. During the whole course of this segment, we discussed strategy and how you're playing your card. It's like I said, it's a card game. It really is. On how, there, Pip, don't cry. But
thanks, Joe!
But it's really a card game, and I feel Pip wins, and I'll tell you why.
Well, can I make my argument before you do that?
Yeah.
Because I haven't actually argued against my story yet.
All right.
Yes. An amazing story. But this, again, is an evil person, and the two of them were hopped up on methamphetamine. They are drug-addled and do stupid shit with that drug strength. As Pip argued in just a few minutes ago, these are two people that just professed their love and devotion to cherish and hold till death do us part before a full congregation and God. Just a few wee hours ago, the cake is still warm. We're still going to have leftovers from the cocktail hour. We can't keep our shit together enough to even go to bed, to even have our first night sleeping together as man and wife. We can't keep our shit together that long. No, we are in the hotel. I can't even get out of my trousers. You can't even take out of your dress. You can't even take off your earrings before we battle it out. No, we have failed so much before God, the Almighty, that we brawl, and not only do we brawl, the police are called. They can't make heads or tail of this. Like, fuck it. You're both going downtown. So
now, based on the horribleness of the story, of Pip's story that she had, basically, I pulled my number one story to go head-to-head with yours. She held her ground, and she had the conviction that her story, the story that was the same as yours, would be better as number one and have more validity as number one, and she held it, and it did.
Well, wait, hold on.
The segment.
You're giving her points for conviction, but I'm getting no points for conviction that I had that story. Hold on, I had that story, and I'm so convinced.
Put it where you chose to put it, as well as I.
Right.
To put my story.
Right, no, but I didn't switch anything around. This was my...
Neither.
No, but what I'm saying is, I had all the stories. This was my number two story. I had the conviction that this story was worse because of the proximity. If you're looking at what this is, a love fail, you cannot fail any more in love than on your wedding night, both of you getting hauled to jail for fighting, not with other people, with each other.
And if truth be told, when you stick somebody's dick in their own mouth with their head chopped off, and to tell you the truth, I thought I was going to lose on that.
You should have. You should have.
But I... Exactly, and you did in this
pair. Wow. The way you two operate.
You can't, and for that fact, in this story, your story right now compared to the story that she brought up with that incident means that she is one hands down. And it's besides the fact that story in this
that just shows what a shitty judge Pip is, because she had a tie and the last one, and the guy who had the other story said it was better. What? I can't.
That's the second story that has no validity on the first story of where she placed it. She wins this segment.
I don't know what's worse, the judging your story or you two as judges. The way you two operate.
She played her cards right. She put the story there. On that one fact, beats your story hands down. It should have kicked my ass, but no, it didn't.
To use it right, he wins the second. God damn, but Pip didn't even see through your bluff. He knew he had the worst story. My point is, she couldn't even see through your bluff. He knew I had the better story in number two. This is ridiculous.
We just moved on from that, okay? That case is closed.
I'm appealing. I want to appeal.
That case is closed, and this case is closed.
Men have died. Literally.
Men have died.
That's what I said. Literally. Men have died. Literally.
Really. And chopped up. Think about it. It's where you chose to put your story, where I chose to put mine to counter, where she chose where to put that story. And it's all about not only the validity of the story, also where you the rules have changed on what we're doing with stories. Changed about 3 years ago. Where you insert your story, and if she felt that she had something that was good and went up in your story that you chose to put as number one instead of number two, it might have been a different conversation. But she chose it. She won it.
She didn't sell it. I sold it. She didn't sell anything, stupid. I sold it in the last segment.
And you know what? What are we supposed to do? Bore the audience by telling the same story twice?
No, and hold on. Hold on. She didn't even have all the details I had. She admitted this is a kangaroo court. This is so fucking stupid. Nobody gives a shit about your day program. We're talking about important things here. Shut up.
Sorry, nobody bought my order. They bought the other guy.
Nobody cares about your boring day job. We're talking about important shit right now.
All right, let's go back to it. You play the cards right, and you chose a story that didn't hold up to the other story that you had that we tied on.
I lose on my own story, which she didn't even argue and could not have argued as well as I did because she didn't even have the details. Wow.
So if you argued it right, you would have won.
I did argue it right.
You would have won.
You know what we've proven? You know what I've learned from this segment? There are three fucking bad judges in this country. The one in your story and you two. That's what I've learned.
What you've learned in this segment is that the stories have been better. We've been coming up with better stuff. If you have something that you have a conviction of making it your number one, when you're going head to head, look, I dropped like a house of cards. I pulled that story to go to head right to yours because I knew I could maybe win it. She held on. She held on. I said, I'll make it number one, and I'll take it.
I think you just admire the strategy for whatever that is.
I don't admire it, but when you see that she did, and when it goes against you, it goes to your story that you chose as number one.
Fine. Okay. Okay.
Didn't hold the validity.
All right.
I'm sorry.
We'll get fine. Pip can have number one. Now that that's been decided, Pip, let's be honest. I have the bigger fucking love fail here. Let's be. You got number one. You have number one. It's etched. It's etched for all to see in time. But you'll admit I had the bigger love fail.
It's a quintessential love fail.
Thank you. No, I'm not taking the victory lap. I said she's got number one.
Your number two story is your number one.
You know what's interesting? Both the ones where I lost or tied, both people admitted later on I had the better story. This game is broken.
And let me tell you something. If you two picked your story about the head decapitation, and I kept my story as number one. Jesus Christ, we'd be here till 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
Listen.
And it goes back to the fact of where you feel your story should go compared to the other.
As Pip said, after she much like the Kansas City Chief player Bradbury said when he said it was a hold, Pip said after the game was already decided, or the Eagle, excuse me, quintessential love fail. That's all that that's all there is. Which is fine. It's fine. Pip, read the results, but we all know what happened here. Read the results, Pip.
All right. In the beginning, the third round, we had Davin with the steamy police story. Joe had the teacher with the 13-year-old girlfriend. I had the woman who was left behind in the jungle to pee while her husband drove away. Of course, Davin took that one. In number two place, Davin had the head and penis soup story. Amazing. Joe had the 35 pieces story. Also amazing. I had the fake push at the Grand Canyon. And Joe and Davin were tied. And in number one place, Davin had the wedding night grudge match story. Joe had the whipping judge. And I had head and penis soup. And I took number one. But for the whole thing, Joe had one, I had one, Davin had two. Davin is still one.
Well, actually, I had one and a half. I had one and a half. Joe had half, and you had one. If you're splitting,
okay.
If
if you want to do it that way, yeah. I thought that you don't split it when it's a tie.
Yeah, we're splitting babies. We're splitting babies.
All right. We'll split hairs. We'll split babies.
I got it.
Just to see, like I said, you know, usually with these things, it's three stories. I'll usually pick five or six, and this is what didn't make it in. Florida man poses as state trooper to get ex-girlfriend arrested. Girlfriend poisons man for refusing breakup in their thing. And then I had Florida pair arrested for filming sexual acts with their dog. So, you know, it was a...
Wow!
But I didn't use that because Dumbo over there would go, well, you don't be worried about a relationship with the dog and blah, blah, blah. But this is shit that didn't make it in.
Oh, I know. I had one that was, there's some word that, wait a minute, let me see what the word was. There's some word that if you say it, like Muslims, it used to be that if you said it three times, that meant you were divorced. I'm like, what is this? Like, what was the name of that movie? Oh, shoot. Beetlejuice. What is this? Beetlejuice. We're what? Divorced.
Oh, God, I wish I knew that word 6 years ago. It would have saved me $120,000.
I know, right?
All right, here are my stories that didn't make it. I really like this first one. This is for Iran. Woman allegedly stabbed date during sex for death of Iranian commander. I like the motivation for that. you know, she tried to kill him with Drano. Yeah, I know. Ugh. Another decapitation. Alabama woman Tammy Bailey, dead boyfriend Justin Fields stabbed her over 100 times. Yeah, been there, done that. I had the left on the side of the road.
Been there, done that.
Left on the side of the road. She tried to kill him with animal, you know, tranquilizers and drugs. I really like this story. A man was interested in a woman and she wasn't interested in him, so he's suing her for being put in the friend zone. I really enjoyed that story.
Oh, my God, you fucking incel. God.
Oh, if that was the case with me, I'd have about $3 million in legal fees.
So those were the two.
I just want to say something from what we were saying. You know, basically, you know, well, strategy is one thing, but I said, no. You just brought up stories, and I just brought up stories that didn't make it in. Why? Because strategy. Strategy. So strategy does have a big part.
I can't account for the human element that is you two. I can't account for it. Screwed again. They both admit on the stories I did not take wholesome victories on that I had the better story. Screwed again.
No. I think I had a great story.
Yes, of course you did.
But you put it in place number two. I deliberately put in place number one, as Joe was saying. I was playing a strategy game.
Yeah, but
with that one.
Yeah, but no, it's just based on knowing what's good enough.
Big part in this segment.
Listen.
Well, it does now.
The quote.
If you're car out of each other was part number two, and Joe had kept with whatever he wanted, Doug probably would have won part number two hands down.
No, no,
but
no,
not
no.
against my head and penis soup.
You said oh, Quintus.
Especially when you said last week, and people could die.
That made the searching more fun.
The name of the bit. The name of the bit. Love fails. Pip's quote on my story, quintessential love fail. You know, whatever. I can't account for you guys. It's fine. But, you know. God knows what happened here.
Love to fail.
Who knows?
God knows.
Who is that knows?
God knows. All right. It's you know what? We can't do segment three tonight. That sucks.
What?
It's 9:17.
Why can't we?
It's 9:17.
Oh, yeah. We argued quite a bit.
I mean, if you don't have a problem going to 10 o'clock, I'll do it, but there'll be complaints.
I'm not going to 10 o'clock. I gotta be a day program early.
You always have to be the day program early.
Yeah, because I got to make a living. What do you think? You think the fucking bank doesn't want their money on the 15th?
I don't know. I'm sure they do.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, that was an entertaining segment. If decided questionably. A very entertaining segment. Everybody brought good stuff. Pip needs to learn how to argue her own fucking story. Stop piggybacking off me, my arguments.
I would have argued my own point if you had not already done so.
With more details than you had.
You know what? I still could have gotten across.
No,
damn,
no.
That's a great story.
It's the extra details. Much like in Joe's story with the, you know, went out and bought an extra refrigerator, ran the Instagram. It's the extra details that make these stories.
I know, but no. I had most of what you had in my story. There were just a couple of things that I didn't have. But the going out and getting a refrigerator just to keep your dead body in, wow.
All right.
Detailed strategy, strength on the story, and those
uniqueness.
Because basically, a lot of things we do, most of the shit we do is argue and debate. You have to pick, and that's what I did. I have a second story. You pick on something that if I have to debate on it, I've got enough bullet points to get, or I feel I have enough bullet points to get me through, which is also a consider. That's why I picked my story as number two against his. Because, we're going bullet point by bullet point. That's called strategy.
You found the judge to make the argument to, even if you didn't believe your argument. You sold it well enough to her. So kudos for you for taking advantage of it. Good for you. Unbelievable. All right. Let's, enough of this shit.
So mad.
I really wanted to do Scamming Scammers because we're not going to be able to do it next week, but it is what it is. All right.
Aww.
All right. Let's
Sorry we argued too much, Dad. We'll sit quietly in the back seat. No, we won't.
He gets mad at us because, you know,
I'm not getting mad. I'm trying to wrap up the show, stupid.
No.
My argument is, my complaint is, if you guys are going to argue all this, which is fine, don't blame me when the show goes long. That's the argument. All right. We'd like to thank Sensei Russ Ferdico for his continued support of this fine program, brought to you by the Helena Rubinstein Foundation. No, we want to thank Sensei Ferdico for his continued support. Joe, who would you like to thank?
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. Every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, so every visit is not just a meal but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to the dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquet, that's your destination for that special event. Suite 16, wedding, office party, anything that has to impress. And their professional staff will ensure that your event will not just be an occasion, it'll be a memory. Memorable time. Portobello Banquets also hosts always popular Comedy Nights throughout the year, which is produced by Side Splitting Productions owner Davin of Davin Stan. Davin, what we got coming up?
Friday, March 31st. Eric Tartaglione is your headliner. Stephen Rocco Perillo is your feature act. And the host.
It's going to be a phenomenal show. Make sure you're there. Experience all that Portobello has to offer. 175 Ramapo Valley Road, Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more by calling 201-337-8990. That is 201-337-8990. Visit their website, PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve a great night out. You deserve Portobello.
Side Splitting Productions for all your entertainment. Well, nah, really just comedy. Just calls for comedy. We do that shit really, really well. It's an official plug right there. Sidesplittingproductions.com. Give us a call, 551-404-3094. I'm not doing Scamming Scammers old shit, but I'm dealing with three right now on my phone that I'm trying to deal with. So sidesplittingproductions.com. God damn it. Hold on a second.
Are you wrestling with yourself there? What's going on?
Yes, I am. Okay. Joe, what do you got this week?
All right. On Thursday, I will be on the Anthony Curia Show with Adam Ferrara. Go to compoundmedia.com. Check us out there. On Friday, I will be with Adam again at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com or dial 1-877-Uncle-VIN. Saturday night, I am with you in Stroudsburg, I believe.
We're in Clark Summit.
Clark Summit. Check Davin and I out there. Davin will have more information when he does his portion. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thursday, February 16th, Side Splitting Productions presents live comedy at the River Grill in Newburgh, New York, starring Chris Roach, who was Mott on CBS's Kevin Can Wait. Jeffrey Paul from The Irishman on Netflix, and Vin Baker. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. Friday, February 17th, I will be in East Stroudsburg, PA, at the 1836 Saloon with Dave Satzik. For tickets, call 570-664-6500. And yes, on Saturday, the 18th, I'll be with Patient Zero in Clark Summit, PA, at the Best Western for a fundraiser. Let's hope Joe is not sniffling and sneezing. Otherwise, we'll wrap him in saran wrap and keep him away from the fine folks. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to wrap up. Okay. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,